Welcome to the Cha-Cha in the Evening podcast. My name is Alex Shamina. I'll be your host today. We have an absolute banger of a podcast for you today. I can't wait to share this chat. You'll be listening to this Friday. Right now we're in Sudbury. It's a Wednesday. Snowing all over the place. I can't believe it. We had a snow day. It's April. Let's hope that when you're listening Sunday, it's going to be sunny and we're going to get spring on the way. Let's hope. Now, let's get into the podcast. We're going to be diving deep, and I'm talking diving deep into the adolescent theories of our lives today in high school, as well as the movie 21 Jump Street, the classic movie 21 Jump Street. When you're scrolling around Netflix at night, you're trying to find a laugh. That's that one late night comedy you're going to watch, starring Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill, as well as Ice Cube. Just a great cast for a great movie. And I can't wait to dive deep and talk about the adolescent theories that relate to that, as well as to our lives today. So the first theories, so we're going to do two theories. We're going to go through the Festinger theory, which talks about us always comparing ourselves to different people, as well as the sheriff's in versus out group. So the first theory is obviously the social comparison theory with Festinger. People are always comparing themselves to one another in order to judge their self-worth, abilities, and status. And there's two types of comparisons. You're going to have the upward comparison, looking at someone at the height of their career and comparing them to yourself. Example is comparing your sports performance to your basketball performance to someone like a LeBron James. That's an upward comparison. Someone who's a celebrity at the height of their career. And then you can do there's a downward comparison where you're comparing yourself to someone who struggles maybe in high school. Well, it happens all the time in high school when you are writing a test, you're comparing your marks with everyone to see if you're better than this person and this person. Happens all the time in high school. And then we're going to move on to the sheriff's in versus out group theory, where there's the one group who is in there, they're the cool people at school, everyone wants to hang out with them. And then you have the out group, or more the outsiders. They keep to themselves, not fitting that social standard, that social barrier. For some reason, we always seem to have a social barrier in between those two groups, and I think that should be broken. And we're going to dive deep to see why that barrier is up, especially in 21 Jump Street and in our lives today. All right, I can't wait to share this chat with you. We can't wait. It's going to be an amazing, amazing podcast. Hope you have a great time listening to this, and let's get this baby started. Oh, baby, nothing like a little Rod Stewart in the evening. Oh, just an absolute classic. Might take you back to your high school days. Maggie Mae, Rod Stewart, just an absolute classic. All right, so let's get on with the show. So in the movie 21 Jump Street, this is a movie where two complete opposites become friends, tight like brothers. They go to police academy with each other and become one of the funniest and best police undercover duos of all time. So just to give you a little background, when I referred to the characters' names, so Janko will be Channing Tatum, Jonah Hill will be Schmidt, and then those two get another character after them. So it goes Janko, then to Brad McQuaid, and then from Schmidt to Doug McQuaid. All right, so now that I got that clear, let's get on with it. So these two always compare themselves to each other, and the movie does a great job of it. At the first start of the movie, you can see that these two were really complete opposites, and they were really pointing out for that. If you looked at Janko was a beauty. Everyone loved him at school. He was the jock. He skipped classes, never went to school. He had all the ladies. He was the cool guy wearing the leather jacket, football jacket. Everyone loved Janko. Janko was the guy in his time, and he really bullied Schmidt. Schmidt was a nerd. A part of different quirky clubs, and he really bullied him for that. Janko did. And you can really see that these two were complete opposites. And then they get together at Police Academy 5 years later. 5 years later, they join together at the Police Academy, and instead of putting those comparisons between them, they use them to their strengths. Janko makes a upward comparison to Schmidt by using his smarts, his intelligence, his marks to get him past testing for police, all the theory and all that, and then vice versa. Schmidt uses that upward comparison to Janko to get past the physical testing of the police academy, where those two really hit it off and use each other's strengths. So it goes to show that social comparison can actually be useful in getting somewhere. It doesn't just have to be me sitting here and looking at a guy like Justin Trudeau, taking a look at him and saying, wow, he's done a lot for this country. He's a leader. What have I done? No, it doesn't work like that. You have to use each other's strengths. You have to build the relationship. Even if that person doesn't know you, you have to know where you fit with them using that upward comparison. So it was really cool to see that. And then in high school, I'll tell you about just my past experiences. When I take a look, I always get obsessed with different sports idols. Like, just example, March Madness just finished. Dante DiVincenzo was one of the key basketball players on Villanova, who just went off in the final game of the NCAA championship in March Madness. He was the star of the show. He played so good and became just this overnight sensation, and I fell in love with him. He's a great, great athlete, well-spoken, and he's Italian. How can you beat that? That's someone I look up to now. He's such a cool guy. I'll look up to him. I also look up to different leaders as well. I went to all these conferences. For example, I model parliament. This is where I went to Queen's Park in Ontario, and I met many different politicians, the premier, Kathleen Wynne, and I look up to these people. These are the politicians running our country, our province, and it was really, really cool to see how you can really compare yourself to someone who is at the height of their career. One person that I really gelled with was Jagmeet Singh. He's now the leader of the NDP party, of the federal NDP party. And that guy came from nothing. He wasn't even supposed to be a politician. He was a lawyer all his life. And then he decided to flip the script and become a politician. Now he's the leader. He did it in about three years, I think. So that's something you look up to. That's something that motivates you. That's an upward comparison. And it really affects me in my life. And I see a lot of students. I try to be someone to be compared to as an upward comparison for students, being a young leader in my school community. So it's really, really cool to connect with that on the movie level. You can really see how you can use it to your advantage. Great, great, great theory by Festinger. I really enjoyed it. See it come to fruition, and it happens all the time in high school. We are never focusing on ourselves enough. We are always focusing on who is doing better than me. And sometimes that's good because that motivates you, but it can also backfire. You can really get down on yourself if you know that someone's doing better than you that you think shouldn't be. So you have to be really careful when you're comparing yourself to someone. Everybody's different. And that's a problem I have with Festinger's theories, that we're always comparing ourselves to each other, but we shouldn't. We shouldn't, because everybody's different. It's not fair to compare yourself to someone who's much older than you and has done a lot more than you. While we're young, how can you compare yourself to someone who is 40 years old, leader of the country? Example, Justin Trudeau. Like, again, how can you do that? You have to use it in a positive way, or else you're never going to get anywhere. That's what I take away from this theory. It's a great theory. Obviously, I'd like to play devil's advocate on it, and it's but there's nothing wrong with it. It's just an observation. It is an observation, and it's a true observation, but we have to change that. And Festinger did a great job with it, and I really respect his stuff. The social comparison theory is great. And you see that in the movie as well. I can move forward into the movie a little more too. When they flip the script in the movie, they go back to high school, Doug and Schmidt. Now they become Brad and Doug McQuaid as their aliases. And it is really funny to see how Doug becomes the guy, Schmidt becomes the guy at school, and Janko is more of the nerd. And it was really cool to see how these two were really separated from each other. And that's going to lead into the next year, the in versus out theory. We're going to take a short break. I'll throw some tunes on, and I'll come back to you about the in with Sheriff's in and out theory. We'll see you soon. Oh, you gotta love JT. He comes out with some great stuff. Filthy by JT. Another banger of a tune just to get down and funky with. Great song. Alright, so let's keep it going. We're going to go talk about the in-group and the out-group dynamic from Muzaffar Sheriff. And I'll give you a definition of the in-group. So the in-group, when brought together to interact for a shared mutual goal, individuals will produce a group structure with social hierarchy and roles. And then the out-group would be if two distinct groups were formed and brought together in a condition of competition, hostile attitudes and actions would result between the original in-group and the secondary group, the out-group. So the way you see this in 21 Jump Street, so the in-group is where Schmidt, a.k.a. Doug McQuaid, fits in. He's hanging out with all the cool kids and the drug dealers at the school. He's doing his job, kind of. Then he gets off track. He falls in love with this lady, this girl at school, and then it all spirals down from there. So for the in-group, in 21 Drum Street, you see, so at the top of the chain, there was the teacher who was the drug dealer, and then it went down to the students. One of them was a part of Schmidt's group, and he had the drug, and he was giving it around, passing around, and then it went down to all the friends that Schmidt was with. And it really built a hierarchy from that. And then the out group was the part that Janko, aka Brad McQuaid, was a part of. The group that really wasn't a part of this, they really didn't like what these guys were doing, made friends with them. He actually really got along with them, but he used their skills to their advantage for the overall goal of this undercover mission, which was greatly quoted by the man, Ice Cube: infiltrate the dealer, find the supplier. And that's exactly what Schmidt did. He infiltrated the dealer. He found the guy, but he got off track. He was hanging with all the friends, the in-group, so to speak. And then you have Janko in the background with the out-group, which you would have never thought would have happened. And it really separated these two guys. They really did not talk to each other after that. They got off track. They ran out of time. And you see this big divide. Schmidt was not paying any attention to Janko. He wasn't focusing on the task. And that's what happens when you get a taste of what it felt like to be in the in-group. He loved it. He wanted to embrace it. He didn't get this when he was in high school. He really needed this. And then Janko really was on the outside. He felt... he knew what it felt like now, and it sucked, and it brought this great divide until finally they set aside the differences, knew that they were screwing up with each other, and then they got back together. But it was like that for a little bit of the movie. So the in-group, so near the end of the movie where they finally try and get the dealer and bust the case. They do a really good job of it. The out group really does an amazing job of hacking into the dealer's, sorry, not the dealer's, the sub-dealer's phone and figuring out where everything was going. It was so smart. They did such a good job of that. And the out group really outsmarted the in group. And Schmidt had no idea what was going on. He was not even existent in this whole thing. It was all about that out group. They weren't happy with this hierarchy that was built. These attitudes and actions, their attitudes and actions was for in retaliation to the in-group. And it worked. And it actually busted this case wide open. And that's a fact that the out-group has, but people don't really realize that. Why aren't we using these people to our advantage? Why are we pushing these people away? You see this in high school all the time. It's not fair. We're judging them for no reason. We set this social standard for no reason. You have to be this type of student, this type of high school person. You have to do this, be a part of this club, be in sports, this and that. You got to be the guy. Why? Why do we do that? Why do we set this social standard? The in-group and the out-group should not even exist. We should all be one in-group. Why do we do that? We set the social standard for no reason. We are using these. We again, back to Festinger's theory, we compare ourselves. I want to be like that guy. I want to be in the in-group. And they do it. And we see in high school, and this is why we need these mental health awareness days, these well-being groups. We need them. We absolutely need them because we are neglecting the out-group. The out-group are not getting what they needed, what they deserve in high school. High school is supposed to be a fun time, living up your life, trying new things, seeing new things, not being stuck in this bubble. You should not be sitting in this bubble being frustrated, trying to retaliate to an in-group. Why? Why do we do this? We set a standard for no reason. Everyone, and again, and we see so many problems with this. There's equality issues, the Me Too movement. These are all things that we are trying to make our life and our social standard equal, and it's not happening. We in high school, you still see this. It's not fair. We need to figure something out. Why do we set this social standard? It's because we're comparing ourselves to people. We compare them to ourselves and realize, wow, I'm not as good as that person. I really want to be in that in-group, and you do everything you can for that to get into that in-group. It's not fair. Why would you do that? I know a lot of people in my life. I'm not going to name names. But there are a lot of people in my life that suffer from this. One of them that's really close to me, all of a sudden, her friends just stopped talking to her. Stopped talking to her for no reason. No reason at all. They were best friends from elementary school all the way up to now. Best friends. And for one night, this person, not naming names again, decides to just, hey, I don't want you in my group. I don't want you in my life anymore. Two-faced, boom, flip the script like that. And this person was hurt from it. She was crying
for the whole night because she just lost her best friend for no reason. She was put in the out group for no reason. And it really made that person look really, really bad. Bad is not a good word, but you have to use it for basic layman's terms. It did not make them look good. This person decided to neglect and to isolate this one person just because they thought they weren't cool enough to be in the in-group. So what does this person have affected like that? Fine. You want to play that game? No problem. I will have my fun with the out-group. She made a bunch of new friends and is better than ever and made that person look like, and I'm going to say it, look like a loser. Flip this script like that. It's not fair. Why do we do this? We set this social standard. Obviously, the person that was hurt by it didn't fit to that person that affected them. Why? Why do we do that? It's not fair. And it comes back to these comparisons. I want to be like this person. I want to be like the cool person. All these upward comparisons. And then we make a downward comparison saying this person's not cool enough. This person shouldn't be in my in-group. So then they set a hierarchy. You have the leader of the group who has their little minions, their friends, the cool group friends, and then you got the outsiders, which is the out group, which is the person that I'm really close with. That really happened to them. Well, I just don't understand why we do these things, and it bothers me. It really does bother me. I don't like to identify whether I'm in an in-group or an out-group. I could care less, to be honest with you, because it's not fair. It doesn't do justice. And we see this all the time in high school. Like, I don't understand why. But it does. It happens. And that is the way high school works. And it's not fair. I totally disagree with it. But again, I don't disagree with this theory. It's correct. It's an observation. I'm not happy with the fact that it is still going on today. This was an observation made earlier on, and it's still happening today. It's not fair. But again, you have to learn from these things. And I sit at school, I look around, and I see these two groups, and it's not fair. Sorry that I'm being repetitive. I sound like a broken record. It's just something that I'm really passionate about. And so that theory, Sher's theory, is another great theory explaining that. And it really is. It's a great, great, smart theory. The in-group and the out-group, there is a divide. And we need to find barriers to do that. We need to educate these people that this is not right. It's bullying. It is bullying. We need to figure it out. And then this is why you see people break down and mentally get disturbed, because they want to retaliate. They get angry. They get in a hostile mood because for some reason this in-group is not letting them in. They set this hierarchy and they are on the bottom of the chain. It's not fair. It is totally not fair. So, to wrap up the show, thank you for listening. We're just going to talk about one more thing. So those are the two topics that we talked about today. The two theories, Festinger's social comparison and the in-group versus the out-group dynamic by Sheriff. Now we're going to move into... should we be satisfied with our media content and should we be concerned? Today, absolutely. We should be concerned. We should be totally scared. There is so much fake news now in our lives. It is unbelievable. False facts around all over the place. Like, I heard one saying that the poor people, the poor students that were a part of this Parkland, Florida shooting, the people that were talking, the students that were activists, were actors. People were actually claiming that. Why? And people started believing it. Why? These kids, why would someone act like that? That's not right. That is not right, and it's not fair. These media sources, and I'm going to call them out right now, CNN, Fox News, all these news outlets, the National Post, I'm even going to call them out too. It's, why do you do BuzzFeed? Why do you do this? Because they get advertising from it, and they make tons and tons and tons of money, and it doesn't do justice to our people. We are so misled by the media. It hurts. It actually hurts. You see, and I'm going to call them out right now, the National Post. They post so much media against the Liberal Party of Canada. They're doing this. They're doing that. They need to be gone. They got to be gone, blah, blah, blah. Why? Why are you doing it? Why do we have to? You know why? I'll tell you why they're doing this. It's because they are funded by right wing. It could be conservatives. It could be someone from the right wing. It has to be. That is why we're, these people come to life, because they're getting funded. They're getting paid to say this stuff, and it works. You will see, I'm telling you, in the next two Canadian elections, you're going to see the effects that rebel media has on these people that are miseducated. I'll tell you right now, I bet you in 2018, I'm calling it right now, Doug Ford's going to be our next premier. We are in trouble for that. And then I'm going to tell you in 2019, Andrew Scheer is probably going to be our prime minister, because people don't actually read into things, and it's rebel media that is educating them, and it's not right. And I can tell you again, I think Donald Trump will probably win again, because again, people are miseducated. As much as CNN is trying to bring him down, CNN wouldn't have a channel if Donald Trump was not the president. CNN would be going off the walls if he wasn't the president. But CNN is using their trusted, the most trusted news network in the USA to try and bring Trump down as much as possible. And I'm not a Trump lover. I honestly wouldn't have never voted for Trump. But he won because he was a better candidate than Hillary Clinton. He was. That's the truth. People don't realize that. If you had someone like Bernie Sanders, probably he would have won. He probably would have beat Donald Trump, but had to give Hillary another shot. Hey, if you want to do that because, you know what? These people want to change. They didn't want the same thing from Hillary Clinton, the same spiel. She'd been doing it forever now, 30 years. They were sick and tired of it. They needed change, and Donald Trump was their guy. And media plays a massive role into this. Massive, massive role. Artificial intelligence, we're watching a TED Talk. I can't remember the name of the person, but she said it so good, talking about artificial intelligence and Facebook. So the presidential election was decided by about 100,000 votes. And in those 100,000 votes, there was a trend from Facebook. There's a page saying, did you vote? And people were getting linked onto that saying that their friends voted, did you? And from that page, 300,000 people voted who might have not. Can you believe that? That is crazy how our media influences our people. It's unbelievable. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen in Canada too. There is so much media that is miseducating people, and not enough true news organizations. It's mostly news. Other than that, the movies and stuff, everyone knows that the movies, some do have a meaning and some don't. Some are just straight up stupid and funny. But some actually do have a meaning. For example, Black Panther was all about the African and American movement. And it worked. People loved it. It was so smart. The way they marketed and everything, and the way the movie panned out. Of course, it's smart. They did a great job of it. That is a movement, and they use media to their advantage. But I'm focusing more on the news outlets. Our news outlets are not good enough. They're not true enough. And why? Because they're getting funded by people to say things, either bashing the opposition or pumping their own tires. That is a problem. Why is this happening? Nobody wants to stay true anymore. And that's a problem. And we do become what we behold.
It is the truth. And we should be concerned, not satisfied. So, I'm going to wrap it up now. I thank you so much for listening to Cha-Cha in the Evening. I know I got a little bit heated, but sometimes you need that little bit of need. You need to add some fuel to the fire. So, I thank you so much for listening. We talked about today about our two adolescent theories from 21 Jump Street and in my high school career, as well as should we be concerned with news? Yes, of course, we should be concerned. We're not educated enough. I thank you again listening to the podcast. Maybe we'll see you again. I'm not sure if I'll do another one. I'll probably do another one. I love this stuff. So I thank you so much for listening. I hope you had a great time listening. Let's hope for a nice spring day on Friday. And we will stay tuned. Bring out the salami and cheese, mama. This ball game's over. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. And we will see you soon.